Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner was named the most vulnerable incumbent in the country during the recent general election. Under his watch, the state went without a budget for close to 3 years, and many conservative Republicans were upset with his moderate policies. Columnist Charlie Wheeler sat down with Daisy Contreras to talk about his latest commentary, where he outlines the road to Rauner's defeat.
Charlie, you're right that you believe Rauner leaves office without a legacy. There are several things that you say paved the way for his political downfall, as you call it. One of them you say is the governor's inability to compromise on a variety of issues.
I wrote the column out of kind of a sense of here we are with lost opportunities. The governor came in, and had he followed the precedent of previous Republican governors that I've covered and that I've observed, he would have been willing to work with the Democratic majorities in the General Assembly. He would have realized that you have to cooperate, you have to be willing to settle for half a loaf, as I say in there. Otherwise, you wind up with not even crumbs. But he came in with this notion that he was going to, the expression he used was shake up Springfield. And he did, but in a negative fashion because of the budget impasse. Human services were shredded. Higher education is still trying to recover from the loss in students and in funding. And in many respects, I argue in there that Governor Rauner's 4 years was more of a failure than Pat Quinn's 4 years, his predecessor. And part of it was he never seemed to be able to accept the fact or realized the fact that he was no longer the head of a equity investment firm. Now he was in a situation where he had to deal with a Democratic majority in the Senate, Democratic majority in the House, whose members did not share his vision for Illinois. So he didn't take into account the situation he was going in. And rather than proceed incrementally, maybe making some changes, say, in workers' compensation, maybe in around the edges with the prevailing wage, maybe in adjusting his demand for a total property tax freeze. Those kinds of things could have been worked out in compromise with the Democrats.
And as you mentioned, 4 years ago as a candidate, Rauner promised to shake up Springfield. Now, wouldn't it be fair to say that Governor Rauner entered with a mandate from voters to make change, especially after many were displeased with Pat Quinn?
I would argue that it's not all clear that the Rauner victory represented the people of Illinois saying, we wholeheartedly endorse your ideas. We think you're you know, best thing since sliced bread. I think a lot of it was, I'm going to vote for this guy because he ain't Pat Quinn. There was a lot of animosity toward Quinn, particularly among public employee union members, because of Quinn's role in pushing through legislation to cut benefits of public employees, retirement benefits for public employees. Now, the Illinois Supreme Court, to not very many people's surprise, ruled that, no, you can't do that, that the Constitution says that retirement benefits are a contractual relationship. They can't be diminished or impaired. And so the 7 justices of the Illinois Supreme Court said, well, that's what the Constitution says, and we can read English, so we're throwing this out.
In your view, did Governor Rauner have a good opportunity to run a successful first term?
Yeah, and I did a column just about 4 years ago talking about whether or not the new Republican governor could get along with the Democratic majorities, specifically Mike Madigan. And I kind of went through Madigan's history, how he worked with Jim Edgar in particular to try and change the school funding formula, and how he worked with George Ryan in different areas, and how my bottom line, I guess, prediction, wrongly as it turns out, was that Rauner would do just fine as long as he respected Madigan and realized that Madigan had certain values that he was not going to compromise on. Madigan's always been about protecting the city of Chicago, but he was also open to dealing in a lot of these issues. We did the pension reform bill that was failed. Madigan pushed that through the House. We've made changes in workers' compensation, unemployment insurance. That's all done through Madigan being there to move the bills along. We changed some of the collective bargaining rules affecting public school teachers, particularly in the city of Chicago. That would not have been able to be done without Mike Madigan being there. So, yeah, Madigan's got a history of making these kinds of changes incrementally, working with Republican governors. And so I figured that Bruce Rauner could build on that. I mean, he had great advisors, had he paid attention, particularly former Governor Edgar, who could have given him a lot of pointers and a lot of suggestions. But that's not Rauner's style.
For Statewide, I'm Daisy Contreras. I'm joined by columnist Charlie Wheeler. We're discussing his latest commentary, Governor Bruce Rauner's Legacy. Rauner attempted to make House Speaker Michael Madigan the enemy of the General Assembly, as you wrote, constantly calling him corrupt. But as we saw at the polls, it seems Madigan came out winning despite the political rhetoric used against him. You write that this strained relationship also played a supporting role in Rauner's eventual defeat.
Yeah, I think it was what I characterize as a number of untruths that Rauner used. And as I said earlier, if you and I are going to have to sit down and negotiate something, it doesn't help the process if I start out saying, well, that Daisy, she's a real crook. Or if you say, oh, that Wheeler, he's a real bum. You have to have kind of a guarded respect, if you will. Now, you may think in your heart Wheeler is a bum, and that's fine. But you don't publicly profess it when you have to deal with me. And I think that was a mistake on the governor's part. And historically, it's not accurate either to suggest that Mike Madigan ran state government for 35 years. That lets out the convenient fact that most of the years Madigan was speaker, we had Republican governors. And for 10 of those years, well, 8 of the 10 in which Madigan was House Speaker, while the Republicans controlled the Illinois Senate. And so to try and characterize Madigan as the heart of all evil in Illinois, I thought was inaccurate.
So despite everything that you write about, is there anything you can say Rauner was able to achieve throughout his 4 years as governor?
Yeah, I would say probably the most significant achievement in my mind would be the reforms in the criminal justice system. And those were a result of bipartisan work, bipartisan majorities in both chambers of the House, working with the governor and his people, who tried to do something to address the state's prison overcrowding, the fact that we rely too heavily on incarceration for people who've committed crimes who maybe would be better served through a variety of alternative sentencing. One thing that I think was very helpful was when the governor and the state's licensing agencies made it possible for someone who's learning a vocation in prison to get a license to practice that profession when he leaves prison. So there was, I think, good gains in that area. And the governor came in and wanted to reduce prison population significantly, and he's well on the way to getting it done. So I would say that, in my mind, that was the highlight.
So what would you say, what can Governor-elect J.B. Pritzker do differently to not follow in Rauner's footsteps? It seems that many were displeased with Governor Rauner, as many were displeased with Democratic Governor Pat Quinn before him, even though, you know, different circumstances.
Yeah, and as I said, I think there may have been a lot of people who voted for J.B. Pritzker this time around because he wasn't Bruce Rauner. My sense is that the electorate these days, it's not overwhelmingly people who are just wildly enthusiastic about one candidate or the other. Sure, there are a lot of those folks out there, but there's also a lot of folks who kind of hold their nose and figure, okay, this is the best of multiple bad choices, and vote because they feel a certain civic obligation or civic duty to do so. My advice to Pritzker would be to be respectful to the people with whom he's going to have to deal. And never forget that he heads most of one branch of government. He heads most of the executive branch, although there are other independent officers like the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and so on. But there are other co-equal branches, the legislature and the judicial branch. And he has to work with particularly the legislature. And if he respects the leaders, and if he respects the concerns of the individual members for their constituents, I think he'll do well. As I say, my history as a reporter and here at the university up until Rauner was Democrats working well with Republican governors. Most of the time I covered the legislature for the Sun-Times, that was the paradigm. We had a Republican governor, 26 years worth of Republican governors, and we had Democratic majorities.
Charlie, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
That's Illinois Issues columnist Charlie Wheeler, his latest commentary available at our website.